This week we are continuing the series on the book of Colossians. We hope that this message blesses you.
Amen. All right, we're in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to end on that verses 6 and 7. Last week we talked, I'm going to read it and it's going to be up there probably. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. This is Paul writing. He says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him." This is what we talked about last week. "Being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught." And today, here's what we're looking at. The end of verse 7. It says, "Overflowing with gratitude." Right? Be just as you received him, continue to walk in him, being strengthened and encouraged, rooted and built up, overflowing with thankfulness. This idea of thankfulness, of mine says gratitude, some versions will say thankfulness, but this idea of gratitude means to be thankful, to be giving thanks. It's also like I like the way that it says it in this. Maybe it's another slide over here. That's our main point. We'll come back to that. Next slide. Hit another button. There we go. Should have written it down here. Thankfulness, giving thanks, grateful language as an act of worship. That when we're overflowing with gratitude, that it's the language of our lips that's not just, "Hey, thanks." But it's an act of worship, the way that we give thanks. The idea is that the only natural overflow, right? So it says that you're rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. The only natural overflow of a Christ follower who is rooted and built up is one of gratitude. Like there's no other option. If you are a Christ follower and the overflow of your life, it has to be gratitude. Because when you think about it, and like we can get into all the ways, this is not going to be one of those practical sermons, although there will be some practical stuff at the end, but this is more of changing our mindset on why gratitude is necessary and what does it do to the heart of me. When I walk with Jesus Christ, being rooted and built up in him, the natural overflow of my heart is gratitude. The idea, the picture here is that of a river that has burst its banks. Like that when we are rooted and built up in him, that we are overflowing with gratitude, not to the point where we're just like, "Oh Lord, thank you." And we just receive it and it's perfect. But yet that we receive it to the point that it overflows out of us and into every area of our life. The word in the Old Testament, maybe it's in the Psalm, says, "Would you open up the windows of heaven over them and pour out blessings more than they can receive?" It's this idea that we overflow with gratitude, that there's so much that the natural cause is that it becomes part of who we are and it begins to interact with everybody that we come into contact with. That when I go to work, the natural overflow as when I walk there is that I'm overflowing with gratitude. We are not grateful because everything goes right in our life. We are grateful because no matter what the circumstances are, that they can never change the flow that's in my life. Jesus was telling the woman at the well that, "Hey, if you drink from this water, then you're going to thirst. But I have a water that if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again." That means that no matter what's happening in our lives, the circumstances cannot cut off the flow of gratitude because I'm not rooted and built up in the world. I'm not rooted and built up in politics. I'm not rooted and built up in my job. I'm not rooted and built it up in my kids. I'm rooted and built it up in him. So the flow into my life is based on him and what he's done for me. So that no matter what happens, thankfulness flows out of me. You see, the main focal point of our life has to be him. In the cross. That we are grateful and the natural overflow of our life is gratitude because of the cross. While we were yet enemies, he died for us. that there was no way for you to ever be saved, not just from hell, but no way for you ever to be saved, to be made well, to be made whole, to prosper, to do all the things that he's intended you to do without the cross. So no matter what happens, no matter what your life looks like, the overflow of your life is gratitude because of the cross, the blood of Jesus, that he died, was buried, rose again on the third day, and he overcame death. As Revelation says, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was dead, but now I'm alive, and I hold the keys to death and to Hades. I will not be overcome. Like, there's a reason that we're grateful, and it has nothing to do with your circumstances. The overflow of gratitude that comes in and out of you and overflows is because you are saved, that you are made right with Jesus, that you are the righteousness of God, that now you have been made pure and clean, though you were red, crimson, right? Now you're white and perfect as wool. Yes. That is the reason for gratitude. It's not because your bills are paid. It's not because your kids love the Lord. It's not because the Longhorns won, which they did. It's not because of that. It's because we are saved. We are made right. We are made whole. We are at peace with God. There was enmity between me and him. I was separated from him with no way on my own to get there. The overflow of my heart is gratitude. Because I have peace with God, because I will never have to know the wrath of God. I never have to worry that I'm going to stand before him one day, judged and sent into eternal punishment. Whatever that punishment is, I don't know, but it's outside of the presence of God, and that's not a place that I want to be. I get to stand before him and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And for that, the overflow of my life is gratitude. Everything else, it's just gravy, man. Everything else. When I started, my notes were a big notepad, and then I went to smaller notes. And this week, my ADD kicked in, and I'm in note cards, pink for some reason. So just bear with the flipping through that. I'll fix it next week. Our hearts of gratitude must start with the truth that we are saved, healed, made whole, forgiven. And from there, it just flows. You see that it says that you're rooted and built up in him, strengthened and encouraged. What happens is the flesh, though, man, the flesh, the tendency of Jeff's flesh is to complain, to grumble, to gripe, to look at what I don't have instead of what I do have. Have you guys ever met, it's this guy, his name's the Must Be Nice Guy. Have you all ever met him? It's the guy that, you know, asks how your weekend is, and you go, "Man, my weekend was great. We grilled, we hung out with family." He goes, "Must be nice." Or they say, "Hey, what kind of car you drive?" "Oh, I drive this." "AC work?" "Yeah, the radio?" "Yeah." "Must be nice." "Oh, what did you do this summer?" "Oh, we went to the beach." "Eh, no, never mind. Not, he doesn't work on that one." "Hey, we went to the mountains, encountered the Lord." "How about you?" "Oh, no, we just stayed around the house. Must be nice, you know." Have you encountered the must be nice guy? And man, the must be nice guy, whether it comes out of you, it is in you. It is your flesh that grumbles and complains, that no matter what the Lord has blessed you with, you can look at somebody else and go, "Must be nice. Their kids sit quietly in church. Must be nice." Getting some amens over here, you know? "Look at that. Must be nice. They don't get sunburned when it's 19 degrees outside. Must be nice, you know?" "Hey, you just wait. I'm going to be one big freckle like in 10 more years. Be wearing no shirt with all them freckles and a good tan now." You know, but our flesh is to grumble and complain. Inside of us is that guy that says, "Must be nice." But what it looks like to be rooted and built up in him is to starve the flesh and feed the spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to come in us and overflow with gratitude. There's this guy, Matthew Henry. He's a famous commentary and he writes commentaries, right? He wrote a commentary. He was a minister in the 1700s, and after he passed, they were going through his things, and they found his diary. And in there, he talked about a time that he was robbed. He's actually one of the, like, if you're looking for someone who has a commentary on the word, get a Matthew Henry commentary. He's phenomenal. And so they were going through his diary, and one day he talked about how he was robbed. And they went through there, and when he had time to reflect the next day, he had written in his diary about what he was thankful for. Four things that he was thankful for being robbed. One, he was thankful that it was the first time that it had happened. Yeah. He was thankful that even though they took everything in his wallet, it wasn't much. He was thankful that his life was spared. And he was thankful that he was the one robbed and not the one doing the robbing. That's what it looks like to be surrendered to him. You could be in that same scenario and you could come up with four gripes and complaints. But Matthew Henry, a man surrendered to the Spirit, wrote four things that he was thankful for because it's the overflow of his heart. He didn't write that and publish it. He didn't preach it. He wrote it in his journal to the Father. And they only found it because they were going through his things. But you see, thankfulness, gratitude is a test of our spiritual health. When we encounter situations, when we encounter circumstances, when we live our life, if thankfulness is not there, if it's nowhere to be found, it's showing where our spiritual health, our spiritual maturity is. Because a mature believer is somebody who's overflowing with thankfulness. We become thankless. We become ingratitudinous. I don't know. I didn't write that down. I just made that up. When we start looking out instead of up. Ungrateful. That's a good word. Ungrateful. We become ungrateful. Thank the Lord I'm a preacher, man. I've got no other skills. We become ungrateful when we begin to look out at our circumstances and the lives of others instead of keeping our eyes on him as the main focal point. When he is all that you're looking at, you realize that he's all that you need. When you begin to look at other people, other circumstances, the enemy then begins to stir in you other desires that you didn't even have until you started looking. When he's the main point, you'll have a heart that's full of gratitude. You know, life is frustrating. Gratitude is, once again, it's not a natural overflow of the flesh. It's the natural overflow of a Christ follower who's been rooted and built up in him. And you know, like in my flesh, you know, the last two Saturdays, I've been on my own accord. I've decided to take the twins and Penny to Costco to go and get things for church and for the house. Bad idea, Saturday morning Costco run. And you know, there's always, when you check out, if you're not familiar with it, there's always two lines. You got to show your receipt. There's always two lines. A lot of people only stick in the one, and then you feel like a jerk if you go to the second one, you know? But it's like, hey, there's another line. My flesh enjoys when someone like switches and you end up right at the same time. Have you ever been there driving? You know, and like they fly past you, and then like 5 minutes up the road, you're like, pull up right beside them at the same light. Man, nothing in my heart gets more joy out of that. Like, yeah, there you go. How'd that work for you? You know, that's in my heart, you know. But it's like, what happens is we begin to, when we live lives that are ungrateful, we begin to have this sense of entitlement. And so Jeff, in that line, can go, hey, I'm following the rules. I'm going the speed limit. And this person just flew by me. And we caught up at the same time because I become ungrateful because I feel like I'm entitled to be in front of them for some reason. Y'all ever do that? That's probably just me, isn't it? Preaching to myself. It's this idea that when you look at overflowing with thankfulness, if you were to take a cup and just stand underneath the waterfall and let it fill up, to just stay in place, it won't take long and it fills up and it overflows. But what happens so many times is we take it from there and we run because this one's running a little bit more, and then this one's running a little bit more, and we run all around, and like 10 minutes later, there's no water in any in your cup because all you've done is run around. When we become ungrateful, instead of, you know, this is a good modern term, staying in your lane, receiving what the Lord has for you, you run around with your cup. Oh man, I want what they've got. So you run over there, and by the time you get there, it's all gone. And you run over here, and it's gone. And then over here, and it's gone. To overflow with gratitude says, Father, whatever you have for me, I'm going to take. Whatever you have for the Perkins, man, I enjoy that for the Perkins. I want them to have everything that they're supposed to have. When we run around and try to get what everybody else has, it builds in us ingratitude, because all we can see is what everybody else has, and we desire it. And we think right now that social media has caused that, you know, that jealousy, that envy of wanting what everybody else has, comparisons. I mean, the saying, keeping up with the Joneses, was way before social media. They wrote the Ten Commandments. What's one of the commandments? Do not covet. It, like from the very beginning, our hearts, the flesh was like, man, I want what they've got. And we run around with our cup, and by the time we get there, we go, oh, there's none left for me. Yeah, because that's not yours. We're so anxious to get what somebody else has instead of just going, Father, whatever you have for me today, that's all that I want. I mean, remember the bread, the manna comes down from heaven, and he very specific instructions. Only gather up for today. Gotcha. We got it. What do? They gather up for more. It rots and molds. And how many times do we do that? How many times do we try to take more than what we need because we're afraid that there's not going to be enough the next time? When we're rooted and built up in him, when we're overflowing with thankfulness, our heart is changed to where it just attracts thankfulness. It's not something we have to strive for. When we're rooted and built up in him, our heart just attracts those things. We're able to see things that nobody else can see. We're able to be like Matthew Henry and say, hey, they took it all, but I'm glad it wasn't much. Can I just get two kiddos? Who's up for? All right, let's do it. Come on, girls. Come on. We'll do this. All right, hop up here. All right, so what we got is we got some sand from our sticker-infested volleyball court, okay? And here's two bowls. There you go. One for you, one for you. And on top of it is some, it's metal, like just real thin filings, shavings of it. See that? Okay, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to just kind of take that. Can y'all see, like, y'all can't see, but there's the metals on top, sands there. Can y'all just mix that up real fast? One in each bowl. I'm setting it down. There you go. All right, no, not that. Just mix it up with your hands. There you go. Let's see it. Let's see what happens. Yeah, get it all over that sub. Kelly will like it. Keep going. All right. Now can you take... Bad choice. Now can you separate all the little metal filings that were on top there? Can you like that stuff? Can you just pull that out, please, from the sand and make a pile of it? That's all sand there. What are you doing? Where's the metal stuff out? It's mixed in. You just got to separate it. Can you do that?
Yeah.
No? What if you do this? What happens here? Like stir it around in there. Oh, it's sticking to it. I didn't try this first. I should have probably done that.
You should have.
Look at that, though. It's sticking to it. The metal sticks to it. When our hearts are full of gratitude, when they're overflowing with gratitude, Look at that. Yeah, see, she's doing it right over there. She knows what she's doing. Homeschooled. You got it.
I'm homeschooled.
You're more homed than schooled, all right? But what happens is when we have hearts that are full of gratitude, the same bowl, the same thing that we're dealt in life is like you can't see it. And can you imagine having to separate the sand from the metal filings and go, man, that's not very fun. All right, y'all can be done. Thank you. But when we have a heart that's full of gratitude, it just naturally attracts it. The same thing that we can't do on our own, the Holy Spirit, when He renews our heart, where we can come into the same situation, me and Adrian here, we can come into the same situation. If his heart is overflowing with gratitude, he's going to have a whole different perspective on it than I am. If I'm coming at it with like, I'm entitled, I want this, I deserve this, I read my Bible more than him, I deserve it, right? And then I don't see it, then I'm going to grumble and complain because my flesh isn't satisfied. But when our hearts are surrendered, when we're rooted and built up in him, our hearts, we're able to then see things from a whole nother perspective. We're able to attract that. We're able to pull those things out of the world that are there all day. But we're just able to pull them out of the world and see them for what they really are. Our spiritual maturity and our growth is tied to our level of gratitude. Your heart cannot, oh, let me say it this way, my heart cannot be fully surrendered to God when it is full of entitlement, complaining to others, and a desire of more for what the world has to offer. My heart cannot be fully surrendered to Him. I cannot be fully captivated by the beauty of who Jesus is. If I feel entitled, if I want more of what the world has to offer. I was thinking about that story. There's a story in Romans chapter 1. Let me see. It's just a few verses. Oh, yeah. Romans chapter 1. Look at, it's verse 20. Yeah, maybe verse 20. I'll start there, see if I find it. Romans 1, verse 20, it says, "For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse." Here it is, verse 21. "For they knew God, they did not glorify him or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles." They knew God, but they did not glorify him or show gratitude. Instead, they turned to idols. You see that when we allow our flesh to rule and reign over us, and we choose to not show gratitude, when we choose to be ungrateful people, when we don't allow the Spirit to work in us, then what it does is it turns those things that we should be grateful for and pouring the praise out to God, except now we turn our praise to those things. Instead of worshiping the Creator, we worship the created. Because instead of going, "Man, Lord, thank you for this new truck. Man, you are good. You provide it. You do all the things." Instead, we go, "Man, I like this new truck. Oh, okay, now I need bigger tires, lift kit, bumper, new stereo system, different lights, all that thing." Instead of being grateful for what the Lord's given you, then now the truck becomes an idol. Our kids are easy to do that too. Like, instead of just being grateful for who they are, right? They can become an idol to us parents. We can, like for us, you know, Oliver, how old are you, Ollie? Are you 8 or 9? 9, okay, perfect. I was in the ballpark. Ollie was running summer track, and Ollie was really good at the 800 and the mile, which had some really good times. He's fourth grade, and you know, like instantly, I'm like, man, hey, this kid's good. You know, I'm like, hey, we can, if we get this down a few seconds, we can do this. We can do some training. We can find some other coaching to do it. We can, you know, make them really run all week and maybe just a couple miles a day. And, you know, like, man, we can start a program here and we can make him something special now. Instead of going, Father, thank you so much for the gift that you've given him, the ability to run and not be tired. I can turn that into an idol and that can consume my life. I'm not saying to not encourage those things. It's the same way it can be if someone's really smart. You're like, man, you got a smart kid. And you're like, all right, here we go. We're going to push you and you're going to do all of those things and you're going to show them. Yeah. It can become an idol again. Instead of saying, Father, thank you for the brain, the mind that you've given this child. We surrender it to you, and whatever you want, we'll let you do. We're not going to chase it, but we're just going to sit here with our cup underneath the waterfall, and we're going to allow you to fill it up and overflow. And I don't know what that looks like, but we're just going to follow you and pursue you. Yes, sir. Lord, thank you for this job. It's so good. And instead of just continuing to glorify God, you pour everything that you have into that job. You neglect your family so that you can get more, do more, be more, prove that you're better than that. It becomes an idol instead of just saying, Father, thank you for this job. Father, I pray for favor. You know that my priorities are you and my family. This job is just a means to an end. And Father, I pray that I would steward whatever money you have for me, that I would steward it well. Father, I pray that I would have favor among other bosses. And you know, like, it's just simple things that when we fail to give glory to the Father, those things that he has blessed us with can now become our idols. Gratitude is more than just saying a prayer before a meal. It's more than thanking God after your sports team wins. It's more than a polite thank you. Here's what gratitude is. It is a profound acknowledgement of God's grace, his mercy, and constant presence in our lives. Why is this so important? Because ingratitude creates a gap in our relationship. When I look at the Father and I look at all the things that I feel like he has shorted me with, then that creates a gap between us. If I look at him and I question the gifts that he's given me, if I look at him and question how much money I have and that he's given me and other people have more, if I look at him and I look at all the things that I don't have, then what that does is that creates a gap in our relationship. And if ingratitude stays, and this isn't just in our relationship with the Father, this is in relationship with one another. If you feel like you're always giving and the other person's always taking, what's going to happen? You're going to be like, man, I can't give anymore. If I allow ingratitude to stick around, it will undermine my relationship with the Father. It will just slowly eat away until it's all crumbled. If I sit there and I allow ingratitude to just take root in my heart, in the way that I think, in the way that I see things, then there will be a gap between me and the Father where I say, maybe he is not as good as I thought he was. Maybe his plans are not for me. And it begins to build this, ingratitude creates a gap in our relationship with God. If we let it hang around too often and for too long, then it will undermine our trust and in the integrity of our relationship. We begin to question his goodness and his character. Gratitude is the overflow of our hearts. It's the natural overflow of a Christ follower. And so we're going to get to, here's six things. I normally don't have like six things, but here we go. Overflowing with gratitude. Number one, it cultivates a humble heart. Gratitude is so important into our lives because, one, it creates and cultivates a humble heart. When we are continuing to say thank you to Him and give Him all praise and all glory for everything that's happening in our lives, then it takes it off of me. It makes me less self-sufficient because I acknowledge that He is the giver of all things. And so what it does is when we allow gratitude to take root in our hearts, when we allow it to just flow out of us, we're continuing to be humble. That entitlement mentality that we have begins to go away from us. Instead of Him being secondary to everything, He becomes the first place in all that we say and do. We have to understand that when we have a heart that overflows with gratitude, it continues to place Him at the forefront, and we see Him as the person in charge of it all. It takes the focus from ourself and puts it onto the Father. When we don't do that, then it will erode the trust in Him and His goodness. Number two, I said that it strengthens our faith. That when we have a heart that are overflowing with gratitude, it strengthens our faith because then we're able to see Him for who He really is. Instead of being like, man, Lord, all I've got is this bowl of sand and You want me to do what with it? You want me to find the blessings in this? When we have a heart full of gratitude, we're able to take it in there and go, oh man, Lord, look at all those things that You've blessed me with. You are good. What it does is it strengthens our faith in Him because we're able to see Him for who He really is. Number three, I said that it increases our prayer life. You see, prayer was never meant to be transactional. It was always meant to be relational. But we've turned prayer, when we're ungrateful, we'll turn prayer into our complaints and our requests person. Right? We vent to God instead of pray to God. Instead of talking with God, we're talking at God. Have y'all ever done that? Have y'all ever talked at God? Yeah. Yeah. But see, prayer was always meant to be relational. When we are ungrateful, when we're not overflowing with gratitude, then our prayer life becomes requests and complaints only. When we're overflowing with gratitude, our prayer life increases because we're able to see all the things that we weren't able to see before. We recently got like this older truck. I enjoyed it. It's a 04 Toyota Tundra. And, you know, you're like, okay, it's cool. Like even yesterday, I probably haven't noticed one of those cars on the road in 5 years, you know. And you start driving one and then you look and you're like, oh, there's one. There's one. You're like, one, it's weird that they're all still on the road. That's cool, right? That should say something. It's the same way that when we have hearts that are overflowing with gratitude, we go, oh, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. There's a blessing. There's a blessing. When we have ingratitude, when we're ungrateful, then all we look at is say, why didn't He give me that? Why didn't I pass that test? Why didn't this happen? Why did He hold back from me on that? Why did I not get healed and they got healed? Why did He bless them and not me? When we're overflowing with gratitude, it increases our prayer life. Number four, it deepens our revelation of who God is. We're able to recognize God's hand in every situation. We become more aware of His presence. We see His character and we draw close to Him and we can see Him clearly. It says that it gives us a deeper revelation of Him. Why? Because when we become grateful, we draw close to Him. Right? Ungratefulness creates a gap in that relationship. When we're grateful, we draw close to Him and we're able to see things clearer. There's a new revelation of Him that we haven't seen before. And we can only see that when our hearts are overflowing with gratitude. Ungratefulness blinds us to see what is good around us. When we're ungrateful, we're unable to see what all is happening around us that is good, what all the Father is doing. All we're focused on is what's gone wrong. We focus on what didn't go as planned. We focus on all the failures, all the shortcomings. But when we're overflowing with gratitude, we see a deeper revelation of the Father because we draw close to Him. Number five, it builds joy and contentment. I think the number one overriding response when you talk to anybody that's been on a mission trip, whether it's a short-term mission trip or a long-term mission trip. Me and my family, we've been blessed enough to go on a couple of them ourselves. And one of the things that you notice is the joy that they have there. And everybody you talk, I've taken, I'm not going to say hundreds of youth. I've taken around 100 youth on different trips throughout my time in ministry. And the number one thing they all come back with is like, how are they so happy when they have so little? And my response is because they're happy with what they've got. They don't desire anything else except what they need. They rely on Him for everything that they have. You see, when we're grateful, when we're overflowing with gratitude, there is joy that can take place in us, that can overflow out of us, because we're thankful for everything that we have, not for the things that we don't have. We learn to become content. It shifts our perspective from what we lack to what we have. And the last one, number six here, it says that it reflects God's glory. When we overflow with gratitude, we reflect the glory of God. Our lives were never meant to be lived in a vacuum. Our life, like the way that I overflow with gratitude is always meant to be a mirror to the world of when they look at me, they don't see me. They see God's goodness, His grace and His mercy and His kindness. They see His favor on my life. That's what it's supposed to be. So, like, when I overflow with gratitude, all it does is reflect the glory of God. Because when they say, oh, look at that, I don't receive it, I say, man, give praise to the Father. When something happens, it's not like, oh, yeah, I did that. No, it's like, man, the Lord is good. The Lord is kind. The Lord blessed us. I was thinking about, there's a story in Acts. I want to say it's chapter 14. It's Paul. Paul's walking through Lystra, maybe. Maybe it's Lystra. He's walking through, and it says that there was somebody born, a man that was born crippled. And he starts calling out to Paul. And Paul says, hey, get up and walk. And the man gets up and walks. And all the people are like, oh, man, Paul. I think Barnabas was with them. They're like, man, these guys are like gods. And Paul was like, no, it's not us at all. And the crowd start, can you imagine the scene of what's just happened? A man born crippled, Paul commands him to get up and walk, and he just walks. He's healed instantly. It stirs and it causes commotion among the leaders. And it says that they actually stone Paul to the point where they think he's dead. They leave him, and it says the next day, let me read you, this one's cool, Paul's response in 14. Some Jews had came from Antioch, and when they had won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. After the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went into the town. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. After that, verse 21, after they had preached the gospel in that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, strengthening the disciples, encouraging them. The dude was stoned to the point where they thought he was dead. His response was to get up the next day, to walk 60 miles to Derbe, to preach the gospel, then to come back to the town that stoned him and encourage and strengthen the disciples that were there. Man, isn't that how you respond to controversy? When they get your Starbucks order wrong, man, isn't that what you do? Right? No way. But Paul was overflowing with gratitude for all that Jesus had done for him. For the cost that Jesus went through, Paul goes, my only response is to get up and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Here's some practical tips. We're going to end with this. Just that way you're like, all right, Jeff, that sounds good. But what does that honestly look like? Can I say start and end each day? Start and end each day with just prayers of thanksgiving. There's so many. You're like, ah, but what? Every day, every night. Try it. You're thinking, I had the worst day. I had the worst sleep. You want me to get up and be thankful? Man, you can start. Father, thank you for that AC. Thank you for the bed. You're like, I don't have AC. Father, thank you for the breath that's in my lungs. There you go. You're here. You heard that one. I mean, end each day. That day might have been the worst day ever. Father, thank you when I got in my car today and I turned that key, it started up. Thank you that you provided food today. I mean, like, it's not that difficult to practically overflow with thanksgiving and with gratefulness. Start each day, end each day with that. One, turn your complaints into prayer. Don't vent to God. Don't talk at God. Talk with God. There's this lady, I've told this story here. It was probably 2 years ago, but there's this lady, Corrie Ten Boom, who she lived and she was harboring the Jews running from Hitler. Incredible story. I've got a couple of books on it if you're like interested. I've got two really good books on her that I would love to loan out to you, of how they built a room in their house to hide it. And there were some Jews that stayed in there. I believe it was like 3 days to avoid being captured. Well, Corrie and her sister Betsy got captured. They went to a concentration camp. All the horrors that you could even, that you imagine, but imagine, like, you can't even imagine the horrors that they go through. And her sister Betsy was like, hey, we need to give thanks. They were in this place, they were in this room, and it became infested with fleas. And Betsy was like, hey, Corrie, we need to pray. We need to thank the Lord. Like, they didn't even search my bag. I got to keep my Bible. Corrie goes, I'll thank the Lord for that. I'm not going to thank him for the fleas. And Betsy was like, hey, we're alive. She goes, I'll thank him. I'll thank him for that, but I'm not going to thank him for the fleas. And it was a couple of days later, and they realized that the German soldiers didn't come into their barracks. They were terrified of the fleas, and they didn't want to get fleas. So Corrie and her sister Betsy were not abused, not mistreated by the guards. They got to hold a Bible study with them and all the ladies. And at the end of that time, Corrie goes, Father, thank you for the fleas. You never know what one thing God is trying to do in you and through you, and he will use whatever he has to use. And it might seem so strange and so odd, but when your heart is overflowing with gratitude, you trust him in his goodness, his mercy and his grace, his provision, and you say, Father, I thank you for that. I don't understand it, but I thank you for that. I just said, serve others. Man, can you want to just begin to be thankful and stir in your heart gratitude? Serve others. The last practical one I said is to talk about it with your kids. Talk about it with others. You know, most of this was just oral tradition and oral stories that was talked about until someone wrote them down. but begin to share what the Lord is doing in your life with your kids. That's the only way that they're going to know how good he is. They're going to read it. They're not going to understand it sometimes. They're going to be able to turn back to hear and read of the Lord's faithfulness. Absolutely. But when they know the history of your family, when they can go, man, Lord, I'm going to pray for this because I know when I was a kid, I saw my mom and dad not have anything. And somehow they always had something. Bucky tells a phenomenal story. Our drummer here tells a phenomenal story of his mom not having enough food. Told Bucky and his brother, go upstairs, I'm going to make you some food. And Bucky was like, bro, we ain't got no food. What are you talking about? Goes upstairs. A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and somebody from the church said, hey, ma'am, I just had to bring you this. It's some milk and some bread and some food. I wish there was more, but this is all I could do because the Lord said, go right now. Yep. And his mom made a meal for them. When we're overflowing with gratitude, we say, Father, I don't know what you intend to do, but I trust that you are good, that you're full of mercy and you're full of grace. The only way that our kids are going to know about it is if we tell them. You read all through the Old Testament. They're like, oh, they crossed the Jordan. What did they do? They put 12 stones there and they made an altar as a reminder. And all the time in the Word, it says, and those stones are still there today. Oh, they did this and they made an altar here. And those stones are still there today. Because it was a memory. It wasn't just a ritual. It wasn't them bragging that they were favored. It was to go, hey, there's going to be times later in my life where I'm not going to understand. I'm not going to trust him. I'm not going to know what he's doing. But I'm going to come back to these 12 stones. And these 12 stones are going to remind me that he is good. Can I encourage you today, share with your kids what the Lord is doing in your life. That's going to stir in them all those things that we talked about. It's going to build their faith. It's going to cultivate a humble heart in them. It's going to build trust for the Father. I'm going to pray real fast. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it says that your word is alive and it's active, that it accomplishes its purpose. And so, Father, I don't know what the purpose was today for each person here, but I know that it will not return void. So, Father, I pray over each person here today. As Paul said, may they overflow with gratitude. May they be rooted and built up in him, strengthened and encouraged. Father, may our lives reflect your goodness and your glory to the hurt and the lost, broken world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.